Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Zoom on, but Allegron's grinding home from Fear Redless. The Cunning Fox below the 200, grabbed by Allegron. Threads his way through Ollie, and Allegron takes the lead in the khaki colours, and Allegron's going to come clear, the favourite by the ledger. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserve at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the line. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood on Thunderstruck, but it's Animo clear. High Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from High Thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kings Will Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat her.
G'day listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. It's a very special week for more reasons than one. It's the first Group 1 of the season in Victoria, the Memsey Stakes at Caulfield. It's going to be an absolute cracker. We've got Fangirl down. We've got another Willis favourite amongst many other chances. Treasure of the Moment with a picket fence form. We've also got Aaron Gooden on the show for the very first time from Good Oil. Aaron, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure to be on, gents. And yeah, nice return the favour. You've both, well, Nico hasn't, but the two of you have jumped on my previous shows. So.
Well, we've discovered why I haven't got an invite. 2 years ago at the Bull.
He shafted me.
Just a rude prick full of himself. Didn't want to talk.
No, that's
story.
Not true.
Story time.
Well,
no, that's not true. I came up and said, g'day to you, Benny, last Bull Carnival, and Nico didn't remember it. So.
I don't remember much past about the second race of the day each day.
Yeah, there's probably a good reason why he didn't remember.
And
yeah,
I probably couldn't probably have spoken to you anyway, because I wouldn't have had a voice.
No, that's good. Let's go off the top real quick, mate. A quick background on yourself, why you love the great game, and then just a quick opportunity to plug what you're doing, your previews, your little subscription service as well.
Yeah, I've got a strange introduction to racing, really, not from a racing background or family. Sort of loved the game, really wanted to get involved and make it a profitable long-term thing. Gave up a CFO gig about 4 years ago and really applied myself, and I've done it full-time since. Had a product with Racing Rant for about 2.5 years, and that went well, but I decided about 3 months ago to break off on my own, and it's been going really well since. I think for the Saturday product for 2 months, going at about 32% pot. So no complaints so far.
Nice. I see you've been getting Brent O'Brien on the show a lot. He's obviously...
Good man, Brent.
The big man behind The Straight, who do lots of good things, unbiased sort of news stories. Tell us about your relationship with him and how that came about.
I met him the same day I met you blokes, actually, at Call the Card. I think it was last year, and just got chatting. And very likable man, very switched on. So, was sort of happy to link up there.
Yep. And in terms of your own sort of betting, without going into detail, are you a man who likes to attend the races? Do you bet live, or you're an early punter? How do you like to make a dollar?
Oh, sort of a balanced play there, but sort of what you read on social media is a bit of a myth. I do like to bet in the ring because you can get proper money on. And I've sort of, Bot and I have spoke privately about this over the last sort of month or so. You can get pretty sizable bets on. They'll bet you over the MBLs for sure on track. So, if you're trying to get a proper bet on, I'd recommend you jump on Track because they will bet you.
Yeah. And racing right now, is that pretty much the sole gig? Obviously, betting.
No, that's all I've done for the last 4 years, yeah. And just 95% of my turnover is now Victorian racing. Yeah, that's my sole focus.
Wow. So if you're listening to this, get your scrapbook out, get your pencil sharpened, and make sure you write down these bets because we've got a sharp operator on the panel, unlike us, but hey.
That's for sure. And I'm cast at the moment.
Oh, my last month has been a joke. It's been a disaster. But anyway, we move on. So Good Oil, that's what you've broke off into in the last couple of months. Tell us about the previews you're doing and how people can get involved.
Yeah, just that Good Oil Racing on YouTube and Twitter. You don't have to plug it too much, Benny. Let's crack on with the racing, eh?
You know, it's just clocked for me that you call it the Good Oil Racing because your name's Aaron Gooden. It just clicked for me.
Well done, bot.
Yeah, it's just...
Well done, bot. My
brain works very slowly.
It's just the sharpest tool in the shed, yeah, bot.
Well, usually off the top, Aaron, we speak crap for like 10 minutes. So that's I'm just padding here.
Yeah, beautiful.
Who saw what happened today at Northam?
Yeah, that's that was farcical. Ridiculous.
I can't believe it. It is the height of incompetence from the stewards and from the trainer. If you didn't see it, I think it was race two at Northam, a horse called Alamine won the race. It wasn't actually that horse. It was Urquhart's Bluff, who was meant to race in a class one. So it won the maiden. So it was overqualified for that race to begin with, and it ended up winning it at a good price. So what happened with bets? Obviously, correct weight was... adjudged and they paid out bets on the wrong horse.
I thought,
how
it
does
said,
this even happen?
Correct like, weight was like bet stand. I thought that's what Gareth Toll said.
I think if you back the winner, I think your bets stood.
You got paid.
Yeah, I think a couple bookies.
How can that possibly happen?
What do you mean, how, bot? I thought the strangest thing was I've never got a tip from bot at Northam in my life, and he texts me, says race two Northam.
he must have lost my number.
I was in on it.
We've got a 70 rater going around in a maiden, everyone.
I had the spray can out and everything.
For this to happen, there's something dodgy going on. Because
they didn't check the brandings properly.
No, how? There's two people as soon as they walked into the mounting.
I don't know how it's happened. It's dead set 2025. I don't know how this is still happening, but
yeah. He was a drifter in betting too, so it's not like, wasn't a dodgy firm.
Get it all on late.
Oh, it's crazy. Oh, yeah. The other thing, Asfura, how good? Last Friday, I reckon, she won the Nunthorpe.
Crazy.
She got out to a big price of $12. Got her dry track. She was a little bit fitter this time around, and she's been too good. What do we think of that?
Well, she's still no good here.
I thought she might have been gone, though. She's clearly not gone.
Yeah, well, she's just... I don't know. Like, they must be so bad over there if she's winning Group 1s. They must be absolutely atrocious.
Not necessarily. Yeah, because she's a Group 2 sprinter here, over 1,000 metres, 1,100 metres, and our sprinters are always better than what theirs are. I don't think you can say she's no good.
She wouldn't be in the top 20 sprinters in Australia.
Probably not.
At 1,000 metres, she would.
Her racing style half suits it, though, doesn't it? Because she's a high cruising speed, chucks herself there, as a lot of the others get exposed how they get going so early. I don't think that racing pattern really, or that racing style really hurts her chances. So I think she's sort of half suited to it.
Yep. Oh, no doubt. All right, let's get into some racing now. We're going to start where we always do, and that is in Melbourne. Caulfield rails out 3. It's currently a soft 5, 6 to 15 mils on Friday potentially. It looks like we are going to get at least some rain, and then you've got 1 to 7 on Saturday. Just depends how much actually comes on race day, I guess. But how are we setting up? Aaron, I'll start with you. There's also a bit of a westerly wind. Don't know how much effect that will have on the races. Did you have any thoughts on how it might play?
It's true, Rail, and I'd say it's more of a southerly.
Oh, sorry.
Not to dick you there. But look, the rain's a massive part. Like, even when I did my preview this morning about 10 o'clock, the forecast has shifted again. What comes Friday night and Saturday morning is just, some horses go from dead set $3 chances to 30s, depending on the variance of what sort of hits. But I think coming back to the true rail is, really significant that we're going to get these fresh pads where we've raced wider and wider and the inside's been off and they've wanted to get away and shift off. And you've seen an advantage to settling running line and being forward in midfield, like last meeting. I think you want to be, I think the worst that a winner came from was about 3 lengths off the leader. I think you'll see a similar pattern again, but you know, true rail, when the rain comes, those inside 2 lanes do still chop up, but given how fresh that ground is, I think it'll hold better than it usually would, and it won't be out of play, but it'll be a disadvantage. But sort of lanes 3 to 6, that's going to be your focal point, I'd say, on Saturday, and try and get as close to the speed as you can, because they will start to fan.
Yep, I agree. Jules Valance, you're in the bin for telling me it was a Wesley, throwing him straight under. Race one, no one's betting, but the King's Horse goes around, Gilded Water, into $3.20 favourite, 1,800 metres first up. It's probably going to be targeting races like a Caulfield Cup, maybe a Melbourne Cup if it's good enough to get there. Maybe they even go back to Sydney and go to a Metro, but any thoughts on it?
Well, if you use the expected rating from last time, then you can get it really short. The map's a little bit of a query. I think if you took the early price, well done, that's it. That would have been a nice price. But I think the price now is probably on the short end of what you'll take for it. The one that sort of jumped off the page at me was Unlimited, who was 3 wide and had a big SP last time, but it was poor in 2 runs. And it has old figures that it sort of got back to there. And I think you can hold a more prominent position from the inside barrier. But, if you use the expected rating last time for Gilded Water, you could get it quite short here, and the market might do that, who knows. But I think 3:40 is probably the shortest that you'll see.
All right, race two, we are betting here. It's a 1,400 meter benchmark 78. Gala Queen was all the rage, everyone wanted to be on her last time. $4.60 favorite. Is it going to be wet again, potentially, if the rain comes? Maybe she didn't really appreciate that. On Display is the best horse in the race, $5. Shadowvar, $6. Eagle Express, $8.50. Flying Fizz off a break is $10, and Hazel Baby off the last start win is $12. Aaron, you wanted to play here.
Yeah, I don't think these two horses want it particularly wet. I'm big on speed maps and track pattern and et cetera, but I'm pretty happy to play where I'm just backing the two best horses at these sort of odds where they've just got lengths on the opposition. The first is On Display, which, as you touched on, clear best horse in the race. I think I've trained it to peak early in the prep here. Target looks to be within sort of the next 2 starts. So it'll be ultra forward here. Jumped outs have been terrific. It was a tragedy beat there too back in the Group 2. Then it brained them before going for a spell. That was a equal career peak. 3 first-up runs. First is on debut, slow away. Did plenty wrong, tipped out. Second first-up run, electric from last off a fast tempo at 1,200 and did things wrong there. If you go back and watch that replay. And then last time it was first up in, it only had 2 months between, and I think they were really setting it for those SA races, and I think it was just sort of getting by on residual fitness. So as much as the first up record is okay, I don't think it's really been set to be this forward first up. And, you know, the slight concern is a slow track, but it's had issues in all of those soft runs. It might just be that much better than them that, it just doesn't matter. And the jump outs have been on soft ground and they were good, as I sort of noted. And the other one, which is obvious, is Gala Queen. I know these are both around $5, but you can bracket them and get $2.50 the pair to have these both running for you. I would probably stake it so that On Display is a slightly better result. But like Gala Queen, yeah, look, everyone was on their last start. But in hindsight, it was a bad setup. It was going from 1,100 to 1,400. Was stuck working there, sort of 3 and 4 wide the trip, which is a horrible config, 1,400 at Caulfield, to be stuck in that position off that platform. Leader got away with murder. The lines are good, sort of last prep and off first up. You know, Pop Awards certainly franked that form. It's sort of the profile horse into that race. And if you can forgive last start and go off its SP and sort of what it's definitely capable of doing versus some of these, I think that's the obvious horse to at least cover in the race.
Yeah, On Display, this camp, they're very much a fresh camp, aren't they? So you've got a bit of confidence that they'll be up and ready.
Yeah, a little bit of mail that they're going early with this one as well.
Yeah, awesome. All right,
it was beaten by Slotties. It should have beaten Slotties in the
Should have beaten Slotties, yeah.
Yeah, that win at the end of last prep at Morpheville was just rude.
I could see myself on it too.
All right. Race 3, 1400 meter benchmark, 84. Kiapa, 39. He needs another win, but he has been knocking on the door. He's got some decent ratings on the board. $4.80. Jenny the Fox, $7. Stylish, $7.50. Yoshinobu, down from Sydney, $10. Keep You Cool, $10. And Pondolawi, a horse Bot found a couple times last preparation, at $10. Also, who have you found here?
Kappa. This race, it took me a while to figure out, but I mean, not that I figured it out or anything, but I think Kappa 39, third up, after what it did first up, and then went that race, they went so quickly, and it was only second up, and they just went a breakneck speed.
Is that the Kappa home 30, rule race?
Yeah, the home rule race.
How is home rule doing what it's doing? I couldn't get it to win at the ball. I don't know what's happened
twice.
There.
It's so confusing.
I need to test that thing.
Just save him for the Wongoo.
Allegedly.
Mate, I couldn't get it to win at Warrnambool.
Save him for the race.
It's won at Warrnambool a couple of times, hasn't it? Anyway.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway.
Yeah, Kappa 39, third up, off a breakneck speed. It's a perfect setup and gets a soft enough map here. Yoshinobu is the danger. If we get the higher end of the rain scale, it might take it out of play. It failed poorly on a heavy track last time after being good. And I think it's a little bit of a question at 1,400 metres too. I thought that, Kappa 39 was a pretty comfortable bet third up into this race.
Nick, are you agreeing there? Are you not doing anything in this race?
No, nothing here for me. Yuck. All disgusting.
Right. All happy to move on?
Oh, no, that was one of my better bets.
Oh, in this race. Sorry. I knew one of you had a bet in race 3. I got it mixed up. You're in race 3.
Why would I be having a bet in this race, Ben? Come on.
I don't know. Kappa 39.
I must say, not to trump it, but I've taken much better. It's getting into its right price now. The 750.
Price. Name early. Your price.
I've taken 750 down to 650, but I've marked it 380, and that's Kappa 39. Huge. So there's still value there to be had at the $5. For so many reasons that Bot just touched on, but to add a little bit more, like, this has got to be one of the best setup horses on the day. Third up, staying at 1400. First up, came through a below average tempo down the straight. Pings the lids, puts itself there. Good sign for the prep. Second up, sits RSL, as Bot said, just did a stack of work. They went rapid. It was about 7 lengths quick for class of the 400. Coming off a poor platform to set it up for that race. Somehow it's still in the photo for second, only beaten a couple of lengths. Now it's sort of its turn to break those in behind it. You know, on speed 1400 meter horses, the time to attack them third up, especially off a platform like this. Love some of its form lines. Previous prep when it was fit, you know, behind the likes of Visit Me, which I give a huge chance in the Rupert Clark. I think this is one of the better set up horses on the day, and I would, if you're not on, I'd bet down to 380.
All right, great. Let's move on to, no one's really had a bet in race 4, but Revelare, $4.20, New Look, $8, Middle Earth, $9, another one who could be a Cups horse along with Kinesiology, $9.50. It's a 2,000-meter open race. Revelare's got a drift, doesn't it?
Yeah, I thought Cadmus was just...
What's going on?
Yeah. I thought Cadmus was just as good as it through the line last time. You can expect it to
Cadmus
improve,
was just, but... oh, it was so good there first up, wasn't it? I thought it was a hidden run there. It had to go really fast, sort of 8-4, just to get itself into the race with the pattern against. The only sort of knock with me, though, was it was first up at 16 and they went so slow, so it does sort of flatter those first up horses to sprint well late. But, I mean, you know, Revelare was first up as well. But
I reckon he still might be another runaway, though. Revelare. I reckon you might need another one still.
It's probably three away.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks pretty soft.
It was in the yard too.
Yeah.
It wasn't dialed in.
Yep. And that was the sentiment from the trainer during the week on radio as well. So I reckon it'll start north of $5. Let's go to the Heatherly, race 5, listed race, 1,700 metres. Usually this is a race that horses can get away with on speed because a lot of these resuming stays get back a long way. I'm not sure if that's going to be the case here. Golden Path, Mapswell, $5 favorite from Braden Starr. Shades Go On, $7. Really nice jump out recently. Too Darn Discreet. How did this horse get beat last time? $7.50. And Kingswood's Got All the Talent in the World at $8. Will, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I thought, like you said, Ben, this race is often won by the tough on pacer that's had had, you know, runs under the belt. So, like, you think of No Effort, who won this race twice, I think. Rise at Dawn won this race last year. You know, so because lots of the time the stayers are resuming in this race. It's a perfect race for the stayers to resume in, and they just get back. And it's a perfect opportunity to back a horse like Golden Path, who was good last time, had the run under the belt. And, you know, it's done good things second up in the past, and it gets Blake Shin on and it's going to roll four. There's not a whole lot of speed in this race. You'd think it could control it from the front. I thought last start was the perfect setup for this. And it's a bet. And I'm also going to back Brayden Starr, who was good from the back of the field and trailed up nicely between runs. So those are the two in this race that I want to be on.
Yep. Aaron, are you in agreeance?
Yeah, it's essentially my bracket, but I'm going to make Brayden Starr a much better result. I mentioned this in my mounting yard first up, saying not today, but it's comeback super. Just watch whatever it does for you. And it ran the fastest last 200 of that race in a distance sort of well short of its best. Has some giant figures in it when it's really targeted towards something. And you go and look at the stable, it has a massive spike second up, particularly over the last 12 months. I think they're going about 6.5-7% first up, and they improved to 20% second up. And you're making an absolute fortune off them from an ROI point of view second up. That's over the last 12 months. And as you mentioned, it's trialed like a rocket since that first up run. And again, to your point, it's a race that lacks speed and it gets the blinkers from the first time, and it is capable of putting itself there from a low draw. And you sort of know your fate with these busting young horses pretty early in the race. It's, you know when it's go time, they chuck them forward. So I think it's a huge sign of intent. Again, this is one where the price has sort of crashed. It was $12 early, but what is it now? Best available, $8.
Oh, is it $8, is it?
Oh, that's sports bet. Sports deduct. So $7.50 with Rob Ordow. So I'd be happy to take down to $5 with that one.
Yeah. You have taken an early position?
I've taken a couple, yeah.
Beautiful. No, I love that. No, Brayden Starr's on top for me. It was funny the other day that trial, all the media attention was around Knight's Choice. The Melbourne Cup winner's back. He's been pushed out to win a trial. And I'm screaming at the TV, look at the thing down the outside just cruising.
It was incredible, wasn't it?
Oh, it was really, really good work. He's definitely on top for me. I haven't taken an early price, but, yeah, I might have to chime in at the $7.50 available now. But, yeah, Golden Path's not an easy nut to crack, and he'll be up there for a long way. So I echo your thoughts there, Bot. The McNeil, race 6, group 3, 1,200 metres. Jimmy Ricard opened, I reckon, $7.50 with some books, maybe even longer. He's into $4.20 now. Mm. Devil Knight, he's dual accepted at Rose Hill. I'm not sure if he's going to come here or stay in Sydney. He obviously won the Blue Diamond.
Males, it's coming here.
Great. Well, he's well on the market. You've got Vinrock. He might need further, and he might need a bit more fitness up the sleeve. $4.80. Tycoon Star, a little bit of a sick watch for us, bought last time, $5.50. And McGaw.
That was winning the entire straight. How did it lose?
Well, let's start with him. Do you think just peaked on the run a little bit? Do you think that little nudge at the top of the straight had anything to do with it being a little bit weak late? What are your thoughts?
Oh, I'm not going to say anything untoward.
Little nudge. But you want to. Footy field, you get 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Got pole-axed.
A bit of team riding there, potentially, allegedly. No, I'm joking.
Whoa, he said it. He went there.
No, I'm just salty it got beat. I mean, I don't really have an opinion this race. It's hard to line them up. I don't think any of them are much good. It's interesting that Jimmy Ricard's been so well backed early. I mean, he's up and running, and he won last time, and I don't know. I just think they're all no good. I think maybe you'd have something tiny on Duke Atreides at massive, massive odds because it won well at Sandown. I don't know. I just don't have an opinion in this race at all. They're all no good, I think.
Yep. I would probably, like, if I was forced into having a bet, which I'm not, but for the sake of the preview, I probably would be following my money with Tycoon Star. Hopefully he takes a bit of fitness improvement. He had that race cold, shot to bits at the top of the straight and, you know, copped the big check and then, you know, just weakened out that last 200 metres. But He's the one for me, and I think...
His fourth pick, I think he probably should be favourite, so maybe I should be backing Tycoon Style.
Yeah. Vinrock's the one I want to take on. Jump outs haven't been anything flash, and I think he'll be peaking a lot later in the preparation. Aaron, did you have any thoughts?
No, I sort of looked at that field with Tycoon Style there last start and thought, oh, if this is the same field second up over 1,200, that they can't beat it.
Yeah,
but this is a slightly different field here. Vinrock hasn't jumped out all that well. I think McGaw's got some serious talent. How screwed down it is, not sure. Always a bit cautious about taking these sort of early two-year-old like the Blue Diamond slipper form out until they've done something. But who knows what Devil Knight is yet. Like, you know, that was a super run on debut. The bias was against it, stuck behind lead, and it got the biggest positive JC you've ever seen, Shane Foley off for just any other human on. Second start in the Blue Diamond and won. And I thought it was a pretty good run there in the slipper. Like, not much sort of went right for a bit of a watch on that horse, but I wouldn't want to back it first up unless I really saw something in the yard.
Yeah. Where do we have Jimmy Ricard mapping this time from that barrier 8? Did he just park a little bit wide early, or what do we think?
I have no thoughts.
I think it has to, yeah, but there's a bit of speed here and it's a shoot start. I don't think it has to get too far back.
Yep. All right. Let's move on to the first leg of the quaddie then. 1,100 metres, the Heath Group 3. Zorastro is a speed machine. He's down from Queensland for Tony Gullen, $4.20 from Marzu, $5.50. She's Bulletproof, $5.50. Arkansas Kid, $6. The Outback Miss, $7.50. Then you're way out to $16, longer the rest. It's going to be a little bit weather dependent, this race, isn't it? Because She's Bulletproof doesn't want it wet. Marzu does want it wet. Zorastro probably doesn't want it that wet.
Worse than Outback the six against a scratch, apparently, Zorastro.
Yeah, well, I think Charlotte Littlefield has said the exact same thing. Soft six or worse, she'll be taking She's Bulletproof out and waiting for the Chautauqua Stakes at Mooney Valley.
I heard five or worse for Bulletproof.
Yeah, so lots of moving pieces here. Bot, give us your quick summation.
Well, I think that Zorastro is a deserved favourite, maybe like a $4 chance of it runs. That is on a soft five or better. I didn't love the race personally. I think you want to be on the on paces in this race.
Yeah. Did you see Marzu's trial on the Syntho last start?
Don't
Mate,
even.
There's still a little bit of life in the old boy.
The only race he'll win is the long game.
Goodness sake.
Dead set. Fair.
Aaron, any thoughts on the Heath?
Nah, this is a good example of how weather dependent sort of the day and particularly this race is. Like, this is one of those horses I was talking about. You know, if it's better than a five, Zorastro is a $3 chance. If it's a seven or worse, it's a 30s chance and they shouldn't run. Arkansas Kid was ridden terribly there, snicked first up, particularly how the track pattern was playing. Wasn't given a chance to creep in with that sort of 8-4 slacking, and they won't be riding it like that here. So,
the end of the day for Shinny that day.
He had one of the biggest howlers I've ever seen. Just that's every ride was horrific.
That's his so only bad. Knock. When he's not riding well, he just snags them back and his timing's completely out the door. Just gets
but then he did the opposite on one. With Federer, he just went mad up front. And then he got gun-shy for the rest of the day. It was.
I don't know if that horse is going any good. So
yeah,
it might not have mattered, but I get what you're saying, 100%.
Yeah, I think regardless of track conditions, Arkansas, he's got to be in play. It resumed very forward in the yard, and I've got it on top, but it's a weather-dependent race, this one.
All right, we go to race 8.
There was a horse that I didn't mind in the race, but it's all going to be weather-dependent. Outback Miss, I think she's a really good up-and-coming sort of sprinter, but she needs a toe in the ground. And it's all going to depend if the inside's okay, because she's probably going to be sort of right inside, depending on scratchings and whatever. So, yeah, it's the watch horse for me. She's got the less convictions out of a lot of them.
Right. Let's move on to the Cochrane Race 8, Group 3, 1,200 metres. This is for the mares.
Yeah, we can bet.
This is a cracking race. Magic Time's the $3.70 favourite. Glue on, shoes go on. She has worn these in the past and still ran okay. But it's still worth mentioning. She's got the glue on shoes on the front again. $3.70 favorite from Miss Rombini, $6. Gerringong, $7.50. Popper Ward is out to $8.50 with a picket fence form. Obviously, won the Regal Roller beating Arkansas Kid last time. Hasn't done a whole lot wrong, but that shows how strong this race is. Manal is $9 and Stretton Angel is $11, and she's unlucky not to be a Group 1 winner.
Bot put the buzz on there, that's why.
You start first since you're so keen.
This is a Kraken race, and this goes against all of my rules because I'm very confident on this horse with this rider. So it's just destined for trouble. But Magic Time is the best horse in this race, clearly. She's a proper Group 1 horse against the girls and a fringe Group 1 horse against both males and females. Barrier 6 is fine. She goes good, fresh. I'm not that worried about the glue on shoes. Obviously, it's not ideal, but it's only sort of precautionary, I think, in my head. She's a Group 1 horse in the race that's no Group 1 horses. So at 59 kilos, I think she's pretty well in, and I think she'll be extremely hard to beat.
Sweet.
Like Popper Ward, she's going super, but she's got to carry 57 kilos against a Group 1 winner.
Yeah, she's not exactly well in terms of that, but her rating did get a big spike last time. Obviously, you got the maximum
penalty for
that Regal Roller.
The weights are pretty high throughout the race. Like,
yeah, I think it's – is it set weights and pens?
What's the minimum, 56?
Yeah, it's set weights and penalties. I mean, Popper Ward wasn't in well last start either relative to weights and handicaps, but it was the only fit horse, really. You know, everything else in that race was sort of first up, and it got away with it.
And
it
had the greatest run of all time.
But that's what it does, right? It just puts itself in that PR spot and had a fitness advantage. And now it's got the fitness advantage and the PR likely again here. I don't think you can get rid of it. I think you've got to cover it.
Well, yeah, you could cover it at the price. And they reckon
I agree with you. I've got Magic Time on top. It went up $6, which is mad.
How did they do that?
Don't know, mate. There's some weird stuff going on there. Stretton Angel is the other one I'd suggest to cover, but
she's a bit of a gunner, I reckon.
No. Yeah.
Not what?
How's Stretton Angel $11?
Well, she doesn't win often, so you don't get much money for backing her.
Because she's racing in the best races.
Well,
she's won twice. So if you've
back her the place
start of her career, you haven't made money, have you?
Ever since you said she's a Group 1 horse, she went off the winner's
seat. It does matter to the market.
I said she was a Group 1 horse when she won those races in Adelaide as a 2-year-old, and I was right.
So did I. Yeah.
You were right. You've made no money off her. Well done.
I know. I backed her first up that time, and She's All Shenanigans knocked her off. I took 11s, and it started like $4, and I was just... That was that day when King's Gambit got beaten the Dane Hill.
It was the worst parade you've ever seen.
It's a couple of hype horses.
Yeah, but it was, it was $3.80 into $3 at like after they jumped. So someone's just lumped all of their money on it.
The last win,
SP,
was against I Am Unstoppable. That doesn't count as a win. By 0.3 of a win. That doesn't count.
No, I think $11 is bigger than in this.
Oh, sorry. She's won two trials at Pakenham.
God's country.
Magic Time is on top for me. I don't know if it's going to be a betting race for me. Popper Ward is too big, in my opinion. And Stretton Angel, fair enough. Manal is one we haven't touched on. I don't know.
Trialed like a rocket.
Don't know where she fits in.
I thought Manal was entitled to be shorter than Miss Rimbini.
But what is it, Map Pot? That's...
Yeah, I know. But Mr. Rimbini is just a hole in the market, isn't it?
I think Mr. Rimbini is a massive hole in the market, and that's why it's a betting race. But I just really struggle with Manal. You can get it in about three or four different map positions, and it sort of dictates what goes on early for the first sort of 400 metres of the race.
Yep. All right, let's move on to race 9. The Memsie, Group 1 feature, weight for age, 1,400 metres. It's a cracker. Another Will is the $4.20 favourite. Has seen some support. Fangirl, $6, ridden by Mark Zara. Interestingly, this is her 34 start. She's never seen Caulfield. Treasure of the Moment, $6. Antino, $6.50. Mr. Brightside, $7. If you are a believer in Mr. Brightside, you think he's not gone, then you will be getting a good price on Saturday. Tom Kitten is $8.50, and then Here to Shocker is $19. Firstly, Aaron, let's go through what you think the map is. Here to Shock goes forward, I would imagine, on your map. Another wheel is going to be right there. Mr. Brightside, do you have him sliding forward outside leader, or do you think he just slots in somewhere?
I've definitely got it sitting in OSL. I've got Here to Shock leading just by default, but I will say in the parade, it came back with a lot of improvement to come, and they went very slow in that first up race, so I don't think it's going to be fit enough to go handlebars down here. So I think it'll lead by default, but another wheel and Treasure of the Moment will get out well. Mr. Brightside's the only other real speed in the race. I think its chance is to go and sit OSL. And then mapping it from there is quite difficult. Like Tom Kitten, can it get one out, two back? It doesn't have enough speed to sort of hold that spot early, but is there anything that's really going to dive and grab that spot? I'm not sure there is. I think it might get it by default again.
Yeah, I reckon it will. The thing is, like, you've got Treasure of the Moment who will be handy-ish, I think, and is
behind
it me?
Lead? Yeah, she gets leaders back.
Or she, yeah. Either she gets leaders back or Billy Egan tries to take it off her on Is It Me, I thought. But they could be right next to each other. I don't know if... Do you reckon Is It Me has the speed to be handy?
No, it's not quicker than Treasure of the Moment.
No. To get to the and spot. This is a sort of a paid barrier trial for the Rupert Clark. Yeah.
Well, he did this with Be Good to Your Mother as well, didn't he, Dan Bowman, a couple of years ago? I'll quickly start because I haven't opened the batting yet. I've got some good prices on runners. Another wheel, $8. I've got Treasure of the Moment at 15s. Antenna, I've got at 8s, and I've just taken a saver on Fangirl. But if you ask me who I've got on top, it's got to be another wheel. He just ticks way too many boxes for me not to have him on top. He can sprint well, fresh at 1,400 metres. Caulfield form is near on perfect. His one beat over the track and distance at Caulfield was in a Rupert Clark where, like, dead set, Camocci just got the drop on him on in a very, very fast run race. I think he maps either to find the 1-1 or if Brightside is a little bit sluggish away, he might even sit OSL. And I just think he might have come back better this preparation. I think he's improved off last prep, and Mr. Brightside coming back from Hong Kong might have gone the other way. So another wheel is going to be at least 5-6 lengths in front of Fangirl, Antino. I think those are his main dangers. And I reckon you might just kick for home at the 300 and be a little bit too good. Clearly on top, I've got him marked shorter than current price. Bot?
Yeah, I thought another wheel is probably entitled to be $3.80. Just with the way that the race is going to pan out. I don't think there's a whole lot of speed. So it takes a couple out of it and you can sort of... I mean, Antino's... I think it's safe to say he's probably the best horse in this race at this point in time after what he did in Queensland.
Definitely.
And he's going to be back. So, and like, you know, you look through his 1,400-meter form and it's nothing... You know, he just takes that... He loves to make an extended run, sustain a long run. You can't, you know, I don't think he'll be able to do that here and put the pressure on over 400 metres. I don't think the pace will be strong. Tom Kidd might have come back better this preparation. And Mr. Brightside, look, I hope he wins. I hope he wins. But, he's never been a flash trialer or anything like that, but... You know, the trial was a little bit worrying, I must admit. But, you know, horses coming back from Hong Kong, it's not the most ideal. He ran poorly in Hong Kong. But you can't gap him at the same time. So, he's gonna put himself in a forward position too. So, you can't have him double figures. You can't mark him that price, I'd have thought. So, if I was going to bet in the race, I'd back another wheel. Oh, you got to mention Fangirl as well. She's if you get the higher scale of the rain, she's probably out of play. But and just with the way the race is going to be run, I'd rather back the on paces. So another wheel's the bet if I was going to have one in the race.
Yep. So five a better Fangirl probably shortens a little bit. But yeah, Aaron, what did you think?
It's probably favourite if it's a soft five or better. Currently, I've got another Will, $3.50, and I have had something very small on it. I don't think this is a great betting race. I think this is sort of a watch and see, watch and learn. And the only thing that got me excited about this race was I saw Mr. Brightside was in, so I know I'm going to run into one Will Elford on track, which is...
It'll be front and center on the days. Cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'll give you an autograph while I'm there.
But you're not allowed to drink the winning owner's beers for Mr. Brightside unless you have something on him.
I'll be working. No,
yeah, well, you know, the press room's right next to the winning owner's room at Caulfield. You know that?
I do know that. Scoped it out.
Nico.
What a race. This race has changed a little bit in my head over the last couple of weeks with a few more sort of better horses coming here, but I still think it's pretty clear cut. I think depending on the track conditions, I think there's only sort of two winning chances. If it's a soft six or better, I think another Will just gets the gun run 1-1. he'll be extremely hard to beat, I think. If it's a six and Fangirl's on his back, I think she's got the best turn of foot in the race, and she could definitely just run over the top of him. As long as she handles Caulfield first time. If it's worse than a six, I sort of won't back her. I'll be obviously main bet another Will, and I'll have something on Antino. My only sort of knock with Antino is Tony sort of poured cold water over him, saying that, you know, as long as he runs well on Saturday, he'll be happy. And I just don't think that the other jockeys in this race are going to let Shinny just sort of dictate like he has in the past. If they go a good clip, is Shinny really going to open him up and chase and sustain that long run first up? And if they sort of go slow, well, he can't concede them six plus lengths and out sprint them. Like, that's just not going to happen. It's physically impossible. So I'll have something on him because I think he's definitely the best horse in this race. He might still win because he's a weapon, but I think he's more likely to just run that slashing fourth and be, you know, good resistance to Via in the Maccabi. So another Will sort of needs to stand up and do it, and he should get every possible favour from the 1-1. And yeah, I think sort of Fangirl is probably the danger if it's on its back. And Antino could just be a Superman and win. Mr. B, he's been a great horse. He's a champion. I think that he might be on the decline. He went to Hong Kong late in his career. It was probably his worst ever run. And he hasn't trialled very well at all. You can say that he's not a trial horse, but Mr. Verse is a benchmark 70 horse and went past him like he was stuck to the ground.
Good win on Wednesday.
Well, well, did go like a rocket on Wednesday.
he's a benchmark 70 horse at the end of the day.
It was worrying. Like Willow shook him up. He asked for an effort.
Yeah.
There wasn't an immediate response.
I might be wrong and I'll happily be proven wrong, but I think he might be getting on. So good horses don't go around forever. Nature Strip went to Royal Ascot at the peak of his powers and was never the same horse after that. So I suppose we'll know on Saturday whether Mr. B is still with us or not. And it's okay if he's not. He's been a champion and a superstar, and Father Time catches up with them all. So,
particularly with older horses, right? Like that's really taxing on a horse to do that at that stage of your career.
100%. So,
all right, let's move on. Ross, this is going to turn into a Mr. B eulogy. Race 10, benchmark 100 over 1,400 metres. The barrier boys, I don't have to move here. How good's that? Seppels, $3.50 favourite. Touch $3.90 with Entain.
$4.
There you go. Mm. Wow. Wish I had just waited like another couple of hours. Home Rule, $5.50. Warnie, $6. Plymouth, $10. Miss Aria, $11. And Shock'em over $15. I'm keen Sepples. I've already given away my tip that I've backed him. $3.80 is the price I took. I think he's been jumping out like an absolute rocket. You just have to put down what happened in the gates when he was meant to resume. Down as a bit of an anomaly, this looks a perfect race for him to resume. I think barrier 10 should work out relatively okay late in the day. That CS Hayes win over 1400 meters was like absolutely stunning. Came over like 5.5 lengths above the class average off a pretty solid tempo. Killed them. That win installed him as the favorite in the Australian Guineas. And if he's going to be winning a race like a Rupert Clark, in which he's favorite, second favorite for and with a lot of bookies, I reckon he can take care of these. Home rule, surely the party has ended now. He's into $5.50. He's going to lead. He's going to be there for a long way. But Sepples, come on, brother. Get us the victory. But.
Yeah, I mean, I think all things being equal, Sepples is clearly the best horse in the race. But what's his name? It's home rule. Just thwarts it, I think. It just makes it so confusing. Like, I was keen on Sepples when I first did the race, and I really thought about it, and he's first up, and then home rule's just going to go a million miles an hour.
And it's can't keep gross. Doing it. It just can't.
I mean, it can. It's done home it twice rule. Now. I know it's home rule. But he's done it twice now. So it's confusing. I thought Plymouth was one that's... change stable. I think it's a positive stable change, and I think watch out for Plymouth. I think it'll do something. It might not be here, but watch out for it. It'll win something nice this preparation.
Yeah. What about the Fly? He likes a bit of sting out of the track.
Yeah, he does. I couldn't, not one I'm interested in being on or anything, but it's a nice chance.
Yep. Aaron, any thoughts before we wrap it up?
I think I've had the Lambourne effect on Bot. I've graded him up. He was keen on Sepples, and I spoke to him earlier today on the phone.
I heard $2.50 chance. What have you done to him?
I know. Well, it's just Aaron talked me about the home rule, and then I was like, yeah, you're right. He's just going to go a million miles an hour first up, and it could be wet, and it's just gross. And
my point was, how is this? I mean, so what do you need? It has to win 30% of the time, whatever, to be profitable. It's first up, home rule, when it's won, has gone 7 lengths quick. So it went for class of the 400 or whatever. So it settled back 2 starts ago. But at this track and trip for its last 2 starts, it's just gone absolutely rapid. Run the arms off the clock. Like, run faster time than the private eye race on the day. I think the 1400, the race prior, it was like a second and a half or more faster. So down at 52 kilos, like, there's one play here. And it's to go absolutely rapid. And Sepples is probably going to have to spot it 9 lengths at the 500. And I don't think long-term that's a profitable play. Like, it might just be that good. But long-term, I'm not sure that's a profitable approach. But I'm not knocking the horse Sepples. I'm knocking just what I think is going to happen what I think is going to happen in the race. Well, that's my concern for it.
Interestingly, because he got scratched at the gates last time, he's had to trial again, hasn't he? And he's gone.
So fitter.
He's gone. He's a little bit fitter, so that could be one little positive you can take away from that.
Yeah.
All right.
The market hated him in the PB Lawrence too, which was another thing that I thought about.
Stronger race than this.
I know, but they hated him. Hated. I know it was stronger, but like proper, like it was 20s.
Yeah.
I was taking 19s before I got scratched.
Well, if he wins this, he'll be favourite in a Rupert Clark. You can bet your bottom dollar.
Yeah.
All right, Nico, let's get you back involved here, mate. Over to Rosehill Gardens. Aaron, do you bet at all in Sydney?
Your blokes will be happy. I've got nothing else to say for the rest of the pod, so I'm shut down here. So.
That's right. It's going to be fun. We spent a lot of time on Melbourne, but
they'll be happy to see the back of me, I reckon.
It's for good reason. Nico, is there any races beforehand like that you didn't have bets in that you want to touch on or not really?
At Caulfield or at Rosehill?
Nah, at Rosehill. Like, we've got the up-and-coming race 6.
Group 3. I've sort of only got the one that I want to play in at Rosehill. I've got opinions in those other races, but it's all a bit
I don't really have opinions. I think the up-and-coming is probably between 60s and Providence, 2 decent. While the horses, whether they're Guineas horses, Golden Rose horses, or whether they're just a rung below... I'm not sure. You're happy to go to race 8?
Yeah, well, my best is in race 3. That's the only bet I'm having in Sydney.
All right, well, I'll introduce race 3 then. 1500-meter benchmark, 78. Sister Day, $3.20. Amrekia, $3.30. Sacred Rocks, $4.20. Your best bet is definitely Amrekia.
100%. Just forgive last time on a heavy track. Gets barrier four, gets a better track. She'll just win.
Yeah.
She'll just win.
No, I don't disagree. I think heavy track just hated it last time, and yeah. I can see it improving. It's a nice horse.
Yeah, she'll just win.
All right.
Put in, take
Race out. 8, San Domenico, 1,100 metre group 3. Raging Force has been smashed. $2.35.
Oh,
some
yeah.
of that might have been my influence, but anyway. Woden is $3. King of Pop, $8. Rivolino, $9. Devil Knight, $10. Aaron reckons might be coming to Melbourne. And Bivakt, which is Bivouac in German, at $14. Look, I think this is probably one of my better bets of the day, Raging Force. And the reasons are, he's got residual fitness because he only raced in July. His two trials coming into this have been sensational. He maps better than most horses in this race. Those two trials, he's won them both at Randwick. Both of them really, really good. He's a fast horse. He's an 1,100-meter horse. And he's either going to lead this field or settle just outside the lead. And I think a lot of these returning horses, like this is just, it's just not go time. And 1,100 metres is probably going to be short of their best. Horses like Rivolino, he looks more a Golden Rose, Guineas horse. Bivakt is probably the same. Woden, like everyone's saying slipper form. I just don't think the gap between what Raging Force has been doing, albeit against easier opposition, and what Woden has been doing, I just don't think the gap is as big as people think. And this horse is fit, firing, ready to go. And I think he's the best bet of the day on Saturday. I would wait. A lot of damage has been done to this price. He's probably too short right now, but they've got a back around him. And I think you'll be getting 260, 270 on the day. Will, did you have any thoughts?
No, none at all.
This horse does have the best last start rating by a long way on the figures we use.
I sort of probably can't
knock it. Scanning this race for 2 minutes, Ben, listening to you.
Yeah.
Looks an evens chance.
Don't add fuel to his fire.
Wait, how is it not $2 for all the reasons you outlined? But, yeah, Christ. I mean, I've done the race for 3 minutes listening to you blokes. Don't know the context of the track pattern for some of them, but, my God, that looks a good bet. Good find from you.
Thank you. $3.20. I'm sure I'll get burnt. Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely the horse to beat. There's a couple of other good horses sort of in this race, but it's all just going to depend on where they are in their preparation.
Yeah,
this is a race for Raging Force to win. He's come on from sort of that lesser form, so yeah, it's time for him to step up and be counted for, really.
All right. And race 9, no bet, but half yours. He's joined the car park. He's not a bet on Saturday, but he's just one to watch because he's the Metrop favourite, or close enough to, for Team McAvoy at Ballarat. They send one up to Rose Hill, and he'll be campaigning in Sydney. So he's just one to watch. He's a nice horse, and he exploded once he got to 2,400 metres on the Sunshine Coast last start. All right. We need a lay, we need a pray. And Aaron, you've been invited to our prestigious podcast multi, which gets up about twice a year. So
generous.
I'll give you the new ball. We'll sandpaper it up, we'll shine it up, and hopefully you can give us your best bet and get it home.
Oh shit. Can I have a place bet? Can I be weak?
You can do whatever you want to do. Bottle 39 fucking to place. So it doesn't matter.
At $2.20 or whatever it is now.
Great. Usually Will would just pick a $7 thing anyway, so just going to be cost.
What did he pick?
Cover 39 to place at $2.10. Well, let's just go with that.
You can pick your Stratton Angel now, the place. Perfect.
No, I'll go Golden Path, the place then.
Oh, what a pathetic.
No, I don't mind.
You didn't have to be soft, but I was being soft.
Nick, this is the first time he's actually been a little bit soft.
Yeah, because it doesn't win.
After the meeting.
Nah, he'll place. I've got faith in this one. Golden Path goes forward. He'll run a drum. Nico.
Fair dinkum. Amrikia.
All right, and I'll go Raging Force, race 8, the 7. Aaron, any at each way or any you're sticking the knife into?
Just sort of what I mentioned. Just quickly click through these links. No, I don't think there's much more to add there.
All right, boys, happy to move on?
Yep.
All right, let me just load up some questions. We didn't spend too long on Sydney, so we're going all right for time all of a sudden. All right, we go to Twitter first. Mazza says, thoughts on the trapdoor ride yesterday, Blake Shin?
No comment.
Wasn't great, was it?
Ugh. Patton was against, if that's anything. But
don't give me Patton against.
It was so passive.
Shinny not thinking.
Oh, he pulled the stick at what, the 50 meter mark?
Ugh. Yeah. Was that just because he was wide and he didn't want to like go too early?
I did look at the numbers. It did a huge 4-2 and seemed to be travelling without the stick. But
yeah,
it was an ugly watch if you're on, for sure.
Yep. Brad Cox, my mate's horse just won an 1,100 meter maiden at Gawler on Wednesday. He wants to know if Nico thinks he's a chance at winning the Wongoom in the not-so-distant future. Discuss. Dead set. How, Aaron, if you haven't noticed already, how Nico finds a way to talk about the Warrnambool Carnival.
I was just going to say, I think I've heard Wongoom mentioned about 14
it's the
times.
Greatest, it's the greatest race.
This is incredible. Well, you keep scarring me because we absolutely plunged, is it me, in the Wongoon from 26 into about $4.40. Yep. And I think I beat it home just and I wasn't
pain.
There.
Just pain.
And then he's come out at Flemington and gone bang, bang, look like an absolute superstar.
I backed it in the Rupert Clark, for fuck's sake, honestly.
Oh, seriously, one of the great bets. What was that chocolate thing we had, like, had a massive plunge on? Took $6 a couple of years ago, Nico.
Lindsay Smith horse.
Ended up starting like odds on.
Just what about the thing that I backed? What was the thing that won it? Miss Olay. I was on it like $18. Started three something. It was just the biggest slaughter job I've ever seen.
Yeah, and then it's a city winner. And it's
at least I got something out of it after that, but still.
Two city wins, beat Son of Kirk. Anyway, moving on. Ryan Patton, with Ben pricing up the Memsie before bookies have released said markets, on a scale of 1 to 10, how does Bot feel about Bet365 Benny encroaching on his turf? How do you feel, Will?
All right, I'll put something speechless. Up on like Saturday or something when I get my shit together.
Anything I do pricing-wise has got nothing to do with 365 as well, guys, so don't stress about that. I'm a presenter only. I don't have anything to do with the trading floor. Lucas Greenwood, there's a rumor going around now that Ben has joined Bet365. They've got him on the tools banning winning accounts, in particular futures punters, confirm or deny. No, as I just said, I've got no influence on that stuff. But I don't know. These bookies, if they notice 100 accounts are all trying to back one futures bet at the same time, are they going to start doing things like that? Maybe. I've got no control over it. I'm sorry. Chris Acasta, predictions on what the next hashtag Perf Stewart's moment will be?
Hashtag play times two.
Aaron, do you remember that famous protest?
You're talking about Lucky Gray?
Yeah.
Actually, I've got a good story for this. Someone just knocked up at the door. Hang on, talk for a sec. I'll be back. I've got a good story about that.
No worries. We'll just keep going on the questions. Summer of Falcon, how much longer do we have to listen to Nick Walter? He hasn't even got your name right.
Nick Walter.
Nick Walter. I reckon once Nico gets in jail, maybe that's when you might not hear from him. Roxas FC, Randwick Race 8, my goat. Bovacht is back. Riley, if Bot rode trapdoor, how many lengths would have it won by? Bot would have fallen off.
Mate.
On the way to the enough. Gates.
Fuck with, yeah.
With Ben, yeah, would have done three laps and been retired. With Benny bidding farewell to the gates at Moonee Valley and moving on to bigger and better things, drink, how does one get into the racing media? I just honestly, I worked at a pub. It was owned by Moonee Valley. the guys would come in for lunch. I pestered them for work experience. I worked for free at Rooney Valley in 2019 for a couple months, as in got work experience. And I was lucky enough to go in the running for a job probably 18 months later. So that's how it all worked out. Aaron, you're back. You got a story for us.
Oh, I think it was it the 2012 Railway Stakes, I think. Yeah. Yeah, that's the one you're referring to, yeah? That was like my best bet. I think I was still in uni and I might have had like $200 on it or something, which is a giant bet for me at the time. And it was just fucking livid. Watched it in the run. I was like, this is absolute moral beat. And the bloke in the members, a few seats down, was on, was it Rarefied or what was it? What was it? No, it was a Kiwi horse. Anyway, jumped up, absolutely ecstatic. And he went, all right, who wants a drink? And he's just gone to the whole two rows and he's gone to the bar and he's gone and bought three trays of drinks back. He's got about 30 drinks in his hand. He's handing them out and then the bell goes off, protest. And then it's process upheld and he spent more on the drinks than he's fucking collected. And I've ended up having a win and I'm sitting there sipping a free Jack Daniels after I thought I'd have to strip out.
Wow.
But it was a very controversial protest.
Pretentious, to say the least.
A lot of New Zealand owners haven't bought horses back to WA for some reason since. It was an interesting one, but
not bad.
I did feel bad for him. That's but I didn't buy him a drink. I didn't buy him a drink back, though. So
that's okay. Roxas FC, Sunday, Broken Hill Dish Lickers, race 6, number 7. Best of luck, Benny Boy. I can't even be bothered looking these up. Someone can look it up. I'm guessing it's some type of name that's ridiculing me. Roxas FC, if we weren't allowed to race horses or greyhounds anymore, what would be the next best animal to race? Probably zebras.
Probably donkeys.
Close to it. Yeah, donkeys. Yeah, we already bet on those. Trap a bit of class, nice Benny, in reference to getting your good self on the show, Aaron. But with Mr. B being back at the races, what ridiculous slop will you spout out in the mountain yard to Willow this weekend?
Nothing. I'll be well behaved.
Yeah. Backstory there, Aaron.
We don't need a backstory.
No, we do.
Haven't you heard this? Everyone's fucking heard it.
Everyone's heard this story.
I haven't. What are you talking about?
We're mates with a couple of Mr. Brightside owners, and they take us along for the ride. They give us some owners tickets. They take us in the mountain yard.
Yeah, that was my gag about Bot being there all the time with Mr. B on call.
Yeah, correct. Well, one day after a defeat at Caulfield, Bot decided to participate. In the post-race debrief. So you've got all the... You've got all the owners who have just been beaten. I think it was another Will got him.
First up, and they gapped the rest of the field.
Obviously Willow said, "Oh, it's a great run, guys."
All the owners just around the horse,
commiserating. You've got JD Hayes there, you got Ben Hayes, and Bots chimed in with something about, "Oh, is he still going to Hong Kong? Or that'll top him off nicely for Hong Kong."
Every time I see Craig Williams or JD or one of the boys, Willow's just
swiftly shut him down
and
gone, "Ease up, mate. Just steady on." Like, we're...
And he's a pretty nice guy, Willow.
I know.
He barely got a horse.
Mate, it was one of the most embarrassing things. I can't believe it.
You must have had a couple of beers, Will, because that is not like
mate,
you.
Mate, I'm a pretty reserved bloke. I was fucking...
I had to walk away. I was like, "He's I actually don't know him. It's not on my podcast." Craigo, send him some love from Gordo. Good bloke. Taken too soon. That's from Craigo, Bold Digital. You've never invited me on the show from Aussie Punting Battlers. And Mr. Brightside says, "Most fun FIFA player you've ever used." This is one of my favorite questions. Don't worry, Ben. You're not the only one to listen to FIFA bangers, which is what I was listening to on RSN the other day.
You copped Aaron, a bit of heat for that, Benny.
Yeah, I know, didn't I?
What
it's got to be the best soundtracks of all time, the FIFA.
Mate, old FIFA soundtracks.
Yeah.
Like, just, yeah. It was just good music. I don't know if it's still good anymore, but yeah. Were you a FIFA player, Aaron?
I haven't played it for years, but I did used to play too much, yeah.
Yeah. No, I used to be decent. I remember one time I got 25 out of 30 on Weekend League, and I just, man, I abused it. Radamel Falcao was my favourite player. 5-star weak foot, amazing striker. He was just completely overpowered. And then there was another bloke, I think he played for Valencia, Soldado, striker. And he was very good as well. I loved the 5-star weak footers because you could just turn both ways on them and really open teams up. I wasn't really a skills person.
Theo Walcott was mine just because of the speed rating, because I wasn't much good. It's just like just chucking in front of him.
Just speed
abuse. And just go and get it.
Yeah. Like players like Neymar as well. Like
Aaron's talking about speed ratings and talking about FIFA, not fucking racing. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Mate, there's always angles and edges. I think he was like 99 speed, but he should have been about 140. He was a bit broken.
Yeah. All right. Now, a couple on Instagram to finish up. Not many here. Ryan Jackson says, I love Aaron. Do you know Ryan?
I don't, but big fan of Ryan.
Yeah, there you go. Kyle Wilkendaughter, what former elite 3-year-old will flop as a freshly turned 4-year-old this spring? What do you reckon, Bot? Do you reckon Treasure the Moment doesn't measure up?
I think $6 is ridiculous, but I think she'll
measure up. What's your market, Bot?
$10.
Really? Wow.
What were you?
$6.50.
She's interesting. She hasn't beaten a good horse yet, but...
No, but she's a cruising speed horse, and her best win was second up Flemington in that CUNY 1600-meter race when there was a fast tempo. And, like, I'm not saying it's Black Caviar, but, God, it reminds me of
that
Black
Caviar
used to just... You remember how Black Caviar used to just tank up, and you couldn't even see it change legs, and it would just, like, cruise past them? It did that day, and those horses need fast tempos to sort of expose them. And they sort of rode to beat it up in Sydney going really slow. I don't think
that was the stupidest thing ever, though.
Yeah. D-Lane's one of those jockeys you can tell when a horse is going well on him.
Yeah. You can always tell.
Yeah.
D-Lane's just sitting behind you. You know you're fucked.
Yeah, he looks very pretty in the saddle when he's just cruising. Yeah. Stu Ferenchi, vs. Stina can't win, and he's giving me a couple middle fingers. Had a bit of banter with Stu last week, telling him Via won't win, etc. She was still a little bit too good. I had $13 Aliana. Spewing. I thought she was going to get there 200 out.
I thought she was home.
Yeah, same. But the big girl just lifted as champions do. Three more. Dame Winley. Will Bot be on course this Saturday with his headphones like a degen for a signing session?
Signing session?
You don't want your signature anyway.
Are you going to... You're going to the races for work purposes?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, two more. Coops here on. Ben, why aren't you in the All-Stars game tonight after your 52 touches this year?
Great question.
Tell you what, there's still a couple guys moving all right out there. Boomer Harvey's still a gun. He could still slot into a couple of teams.
He's still playing now.
Get to 500.
Yeah. Were you boys watching any of the game?
I was watching bits and pieces earlier, but... Nothing too.
And the last one. Who's going worse recently, Bot or the Bombers from Coops?
Me.
The tie.
Yeah.
I've got you by 4 lengths.
I don't think any of us are going that well at the moment, but we can turn it around. Raging Force, hopefully Sepples, and another Will. Those are the three horses that I'm hoping can turn it around for me on Saturday. Aaron, thank you very much for joining. You've been great, and hopefully the listeners have... taking a leaf out of your book and learnt something, and hopefully back to winner.
Pleasure, boys. Anytime, but I've chewed up far too much of my usage there. So good luck, guys, and go well.
Thank you very much, boys. Will, Nico, thanks again. We'll be back at the races very shortly, I promise you. Once this footy season is done, maybe Turnbull Stakes Day is where we'll cut the ribbons and be back together.
Done. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a good weekend. Have a fill up. Enjoy. We'll see you back here next week.